are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
You are indeed, and what a day today.
What Happy a day Halloween. This has been.
Yeah.
What a rare mood I'm in. You know, it's almost like being Halloween.
It is.
You see what
it
I did there? How I flipped it a little?
I did.
You were expecting something else. I'm a performer. What are you going to do?
You live in the fast lane.
Okay. Yeah. Good to see you.
No, it's
good
a beautiful day.
It is gorgeous.
We're sitting here in Los Angeles, California, looking at Notre Dame
Angeles.
High School.
Yes, City
of
Angels.
One of the great schools in the city.
I like the
one
studio.
Of the great football teams in the city.
I like the studio. And they have a hell of a hunchback.
Yes.
Lady, hey, Notre Dame.
Here we go.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
And we'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
We are. Ava Perón used her beauty and charisma to rise meteorically from the slums of Argentina to the presidential mansion as first lady. Adored by her people as a champion for the poor, she became one of the most powerful women in the world, while her greed, outsized ambition, and fragile health made her one of the most tragic. Evita tells Ava's passionate and unforgettable true story and features some of theater's most beautiful songs, which I would agree with wholeheartedly.
Yep.
One of my favorite musicals, including Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, Another Suitcase in Another Hall, and High Flying Adored, which I know is a favorite of yours, Michael.
Yes.
We have two of the stars from the national tour currently playing at the gorgeous Pantages Theater in Hollywood. Please welcome Caroline Bowman and Sean McLaughlin. Do I have that right? Sean?
Yes, you do.
I do.
Great.
Hello.
Hello,
guys.
How
are
you? Nice to have you both on.
I feel so underdressed with this large audience.
Well, you brought them, pal. You showed up with the bus.
You were driving that bus.
Put my shoes on.
And joining us on the phone,
telephonically,
a woman who has had her performances characterized as outstanding, time-stopping, vibrant, penetrating by critics for the Los Angeles Times, the Seattle Times, Miami Herald, Opera News, talking about her upcoming appearance at a little place called Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal.
Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, yes.
Ali England joins us in a few moments, ladies and gentlemen. But first, Paul, how was your week?
My week was fine, except that I'm passively irritated with our guests here.
Well, no.
Which
wait,
I didn't want to bring up.
Thing is
I didn't want to bring up, but I enjoyed their show so much that it stayed with me. It stayed with me the next day.
Right.
And I was at a stoplight in Los Angeles, as we're all in our cars 90% of the time. And just burst into song. I don't expect my love affairs, but not nearly that good.
Was the top down?
It was and that was the point that I was just about to make. Thank you for killing my timing
so
there,
sorry.
Michael. Thank you for robbing the end of my tail.
I didn't hear you say
you.
This.
Oh, no. The top was down. The top was down.
Oh, there you go.
I got tremendous stares at the stoplight, and I'm just like, what are you looking at? You know, it reminds me of something that happened to me. I did this one-person show for about 9 years, and I used to and it was about an hour and a half of just me talking, and I used to rehearse. I used to rehearse the show with the headset on because in those days the cars didn't have the speakers. So when I rehearsed in the car, I didn't look like I was insane. I just had a headset on, you know, and that was fine. I'm walking down the street one day and I'm rehearsing lines, just talking with the headset, and I'm just like, I got everyone fooled because I got a headset on.
I do that with my cell phone.
And they're staring at me, and they're staring at me like I'm psychotic. And that's when I realized that the cord is just swinging next to me. It's not plugged into anything. It's like, it didn't work.
Oh my
didn't
gosh,
work.
You killed
How
me.
Was your week, by the way?
You know, Fast and Furious, and went out to see a beautiful production of Kiss Me, Kate, actually, out at Cabrillo Music Theater with my friend and your friend, Davis Gaines, and Victoria Strong headlining the show. And it was really very, very well done. And it's a show I'd never seen. I couldn't believe it.
You've never seen Kiss Me, Kate?
Never saw it.
Really?
Not the movie, nothing.
Wow.
Was there a movie?
Yeah,
I thought so.
I believe there was.
Yeah.
I think Catherine Grayson was in. Oh, no, that's Showboat.
No. I think you're right. Kiss Me, Kate.
Was she?
Catherine Grayson.
No.
Are we right, Benny?
Yes.
Benny.
Okay. Benny's just here to judge these musical theater arguments that we have. He's always here. He's our
good referee.
He's our referee.
Yes, he is.
But we have so much to talk about today. Let's get to the first woman on the phone. Michael, would you do me a favor? This is new technology for me. So
yes.
Would you give Allie the intro she is so due?
I certainly will.
While
yes,
I fiddle with my buttons over here.
Absolutely. Okay. Is that what they're calling it now?
That's what they're calling it now.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest is a dynamic singer known for her powerful vocal and interpretive skills. She excels in and has been internationally recognized for a wide range of musical styles, as well as being a specialist in American and contemporary opera. With ease, power, and grace, she moves between the disciplines of the classical music worlds and concert worlds to the musical theater stages of the U.S. and France. All that being said, she is also a very funny lady, and you can see her live on Monday, November 4th, at that place I mentioned earlier, Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal in the NoHo Arts District in North Hollywood, in her brand new show, Not Just One Woman. Please welcome Allie England.
Allie!
Hey!
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Allie.
Hi, guys. Stand back. Michael Sterling.
Little tribute to Evita there. Yeah.
Yes. Hi, guys from Evita.
How's it going?
Hi, Evita by storm. We love you. We're so glad you're in L.A.
Oh, my gosh. I love you.
Thank you.
She's easy to love. She's easy to love, Caroline.
So the show that you were doing at Sterling's, I don't know if it's not one you've done before. It's brand new. And I always ask people who do this sort of thing because it's so foreign to me. How do you come up with do you come up with a narrative first and then pick the songs, or do you pick the songs?
No, I will. This is, you're so fantastic. You get right to it. And here's the answer on that. I have been waiting to create a way to talk about a person being multifaceted, multi-talented, and a woman en plus, you know, and put it all in one show. So it's really the story of how I've pulled all these different voices, you know, and everything together. My personalities and my being a serious actress, my being a comedienne and living in France. And that's really when Michael has badgered me to do this since I met him.
That's
so
true.
He put a flea in my bottom, oh, and he wouldn't let it alone for 4 years, and that's really how it happened.
That's true. That's very true.
So you were partly responsible for this.
A little bit of a catalyst, yeah.
You're saying, Allie, he was a bit of an irritant, a little annoyance.
I like catalyst.
I wouldn't say he's an irritant, but
oh no, but I would.
Done,
that was my point.
Wow. So, and you know what's great about this show, guys, is it's the first time that I've allowed my musical theater voice, my opera voice, everything that I do around the country and in Europe to be in one place. And Mark Knowles, who's my director, and
a very
Scott
good
Harlan,
director, by the way,
they have created three new songs for the show around this multifaceted thing that, you know, we're trying to put out there and make okay, because everybody has to be blended these days. We can't just be one thing, right?
Right, right. No, you have to wear a lot of hats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really.
Allie, I want to put this information out there for the listeners before I forget, and we'll also throw this out there before the end of the hour. The show is Not Just One Woman. It is at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, which is a wonderful club for those that haven't been there. It's Monday, November 4th, and that's the Sterling's Upstairs is at 5303 Lancashire Boulevard in the NoHo Arts District. Reservations, an absolute must for this. Sterling's is a fairly intimate place, so you want to get seats. 818-754-8700. That's 818-754-8700, and there's more information at msapr.net. And Michael, you're a bit of a stickler for the cocktail attire or upstairs casual.
Yes, yeah. Upscale casual or cocktail attire.
Makes a difference.
Yeah.
Makes a difference. Now, I, on the other hand, will be wearing nothing except earrings.
Oh,
everybody,
okay.
Everybody, please come.
That's one way to get them there. Yeah.
Well, that's... I'm going to forgo the obvious joke.
It's Halloween, you know, the Sopranos' new clothes.
I was really
a long earrings.
A stout,
right?
Yes, they're very long earrings and thankfully feathered.
I got them in New Orleans, right?
I was looking at some of your promotional stuff on the web today, and I wasn't familiar with you for your opera work. You have an absolutely stunning voice. You really do.
I was very
moved by it. And this is but you said this is going to be a mix of styles. So opera buffs will get their stuff, and the other folks will get different styles.
Oh, yeah. I would say that this is more, you know, it's more the cabaret end. But I do throw what I've done a lot of, you know, in there. And it's just been, you know, I came up in a musical theater family. And so I just took the opera way, and that comes out. I talk about that in the show because of some things that happened, and I won't say so people will come and see it. But, you know, that's, again, it's having a voice that has a huge range. You know, in France, they make you, like, what is this? In Germany, they make you, okay, what's your Fach? And Fach is not like Fach you, it's Fach. Like, what do you sing? Hi! Do you sing? Hi! Do you sing? What's your Fach? Where do you sit? But I'm not that, you know? So
right.
Finding an arena for yourself.
No,
that's
exactly.
That's for all our artists. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens with unique artists, you know? You can't fit a mold, and they can't stamp a label on your
that's
forehead.
That's right. And what you're doing, and what you're explaining to us that your show is going to be like is very unique, because you are blending musical styles that you are, you know, certainly familiar with, and not everybody could do that in a show because they can't sing like you sing. So, and I think one of the most interesting things with the opera background that you do have, Ali, that you've been able to find your musical theater voice as well. And a lot of opera singers cannot do that. Do you know? That's been my experience, at least of those that I've known.
I appreciate it. I have great people working around me, and I just can't even say enough about how wonderful. And Victoria Clark is a colleague of mine, and she has that beautiful blend.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Sayegh, you know, is her coach and has worked with me, and
Eddie's great.
Fred Karama at the Met, and so it's wonderful. I mean, we really are on such a great path, all of us. Don't you agree, guys, from Abita?
Oh.
I mean, please.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're inspiring me right now. I love this.
You're what?
I just want to listen to you.
No, you're inspiring all of us, and for me, it's not just the nudity.
It's the
this live feed on my computer is appreciated, Ali. So thank you for sending us this. This is just great.
I'll post the earrings, Paul. Okay, darling.
Do, please do. Thank you so much.
Well,
you know, I was going to do a show. I just want to tell you, Michael, I was going to do a show exactly like this.
You were?
Upstairs, yes.
With your operatic background?
But I decided not to. Would you like to know why?
Yes.
Because I can't sing or dance. Okay.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Ali. thank you so much, Ali. We're gonna throw the mics to the two guests we have here. But once again, for the folks listening, reservations 818-754-8700. This is Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, Monday, November 4th at 5303 Lancashire Boulevard. There's a 6:30 to 7 dinner seating with an 8 o'clock performance. The prices can't be beat. Have those slider things
sliders,
with the blue cheese.
Yeah, little burgers, they're called.
Little burgers. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for losing me in the jargon there, Michael. I appreciate it.
Slider things? That's interesting. I am definitely not going to have the slider things before I sing.
not before the show, anyway. Thank you, Ali. Thanks for coming
on. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Happy
thanks
Halloween.
Thank you, Evita, beautiful Evita people.
Well, break a leg,
thank
Ali.
You. Have fun.
Yeah, we love you. Have a great show.
I love you.
She's a hoot.
She is. She's a lovely.
You know, it's funny. I talked to her, and I said she reminds me of Joanne Worley.
A little bit.
And it turns out she's a great friend of Joanne
Worley's.
Yes, indeed. She loved telling her.
Yeah.
So now, Michael, to the two guests we have here and the lovely lady to your left, would you give her her introduction?
I will. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, in studio was an original cast member of the Broadway cast of Kinky Boots and also appeared in Wicked on Broadway. On tour, she's played the Lady of the Swamp. The Lady of the Lake.
The Lady of the Swamp is a less known version. This was Spam a Little.
Yeah, she played the Lady of the Lake in Spamalot, Carmen in Fame, and Rizzo in Grease. A proud graduate of Penn State University, she is currently flying high and critically adored at the Pantages in the iconic role of Ava Perone in Evita. Please welcome Caroline Bowman.
Caroline's here.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
That was such a wonderful opening. I love that.
Oh, the intro?
Other than Lady of the Swamp.
Yes.
Although, I kind of like Lady of the Swamp. I mean, it's Monty Python, whatever.
That'll be your first album, Lady of the Swamp.
Exactly. Lady of the Swamp, and I will be in a swamp.
Yeah, of course.
With just earrings, with just feather earrings.
She's already stealing
from Allie England.
That's the callback.
She seems brilliant. Of course.
You must come and see her on Monday.
I know, I could. We actually could. I was thinking that.
We'll come and have dinner, see the show, yeah.
Caroline, awesome. I want to ask you something because this is such a this is one of my favorite musicals, as we talked about before the show, and I'm curious about this. What is the phone call like when you find out that you're playing Evita?
Well,
would you share that experience with us? Because that's got to be like, you know, just a tiny little bit of Christmas.
Just a little bit of Christmas and all the...
Or Chanukah or whatever you got.
Wands, everything mixed together. Let me just preface this by saying I was in 3 months of auditions for this show. My very first audition was in February, and then I did not get the call until May 7th. That I got the role. So they really put me through the ringer auditioning for the role, which, you know, as they should. It's kind of...
So between February and May, you did the audition, then you didn't hear anything?
No. Between February and May, I did about 8 or 9.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Auditions, callbacks, whatever you want to call them.
Torture.
torture. They just torture
waterboarding.
Me.
It's musical waterboarding, basically.
I would go in there for hours at a time, and they would just hit me. and they wanted me to feel everyone's pain. I went in February, and I... sang for them, and by the end of all my auditions, I had danced for them on 3 separate occasions. One was just a private dance call with me and our choreographer and the dance captain from Broadway, from the Broadway. And by my final callback, I sang, I believe, 7 songs for them. It was just, it was certainly a long experience.
Arduous. Yeah.
But I understand why that, you know, it's quite a role, and it's, they have to really know, they have to trust the person that they're hiring. Yeah. And
she's fairly essential.
You know, just a little bit. Yeah. Just a little
bit. But there's also an endurance quality that they're looking for, and not everybody necessarily. I mean, a lot of people can be great singers and great actresses, but the endurance of doing this role.
Sure.
As many times a week as you're doing it, plus traveling on top of it, this is no easy.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, because you think about it, even if you're doing it on Broadway, it's just as grueling, but you're sleeping in your own
exactly.
bed.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, right. Which is
you
a big difference.
To go home. So, yeah, I got the call. Actually, I was walking to a workout class, and at that point, my final callback happened, and then they waited a week to call me. I knew it was my final callback. That was it. And so every day my manager was checking up on me, and she would, and I was, you know, I was like, I'm fine, you know, I'm doing okay. And the day before she called me, I finally was like, I literally, my stomach has been turning. I feel like I'm like, I can't eat anything. Just please, can we just find out? So, she called me. I was on the subway. I couldn't answer the phone. I got off the subway, called her, and she, was kind of making small talk with me. And then, she goes, so would you like an early birthday present? My birthday was on May 10th. And it was May 7th, Ava Perón's actual birthday.
Oh, my God.
Which was cool. And I was like, you're kidding. She's like, would you like to play Ava Perón on the national tour? And I was like, you're kidding. And I cried and walked to the workout class. I went to the workout class with my best friend, who I will tell you about in a second. And I didn't tell her the whole workout class. Finished the class. We were going to stretch at the end. And I put my arm around her, and I was like, I got it. And she had been with me, like, the whole experience, whole time. And so she goes, what? Ah! So we both just cried at the end of class. And she actually ended up getting the Ava alternate. So is on the road with me. And she plays the role twice a week. Her name is Desi Oakley. And, how cool is that?
That is unbelievable.
So cool.
Now, does she perform in the show as well when she's not doing, or she's
no, she is okay. She performs twice a week, and I do 6 shows a week, and she does 2 a week, which has always been that way since
Are they random, those two, or are they specific?
No, she does Saturday matinees and Sunday nights while we're here in LA. But it based on what our schedule is in different cities, mm-hmm. we don't always have five show weekends. So.
Right. Well, here's where they are here for the listeners. This is, of course, at the Pantages Theater, which is easily, in my opinion, one of the prettiest theaters in town. The prettiest,
definitely.
Theater
if not the country. Absolutely.
Yes, and that's at 6233 Hollywood Boulevard, Los Angeles. The shows Tuesday through Friday at 8, Saturdays at 2 and 8, Sundays at 1 and 6:30. Orchestra-level tickets start at $25. That astounds me. That astounds me how wonderful
that
is.
Amazing.
That you can see a show this quality, which, let's face it, you're seeing basically the Broadway. I mean, I know that there's always modifications when you go on the road, but this is a Broadway production.
Absolutely.
That just happens to be in Los Angeles. HollywoodPantages.com or Ticketmaster.com, 800-982-2787. And, of course, we will throw that information out there again a couple of times before the end of the hour, but just want to pop that in early for the listeners.
You know what? While Caroline was speaking, I was admiring the way that she dresses, and I had told her in the lobby when we came up that I liked the jacket and the color of the jacket. But now, Sean, is she always so connected there, fashion-wise?
So put together.
She is like Eva Peroni.
Day.
No really? Way. She's such a liar.
Beautiful, beautiful bracelet.
Even when she works out.
Your necklace.
She wears diamonds.
Oh, I wear my bling.
Yeah, you like the bling?
No way. I feel like I'm in LA, the most trendy place ever. I'm like trying to just keep up.
Where are you from originally?
Melrose?
Melrose
place?
I have not.
You better go over there.
I need to go. I need to go shopping.
Oh. Where are you from originally?
I am originally from Maryland, from Baltimore, Washington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that city.
Yeah, I do too. I loved growing up there. I grew up in the country and in a small town called Glenwood. And
is it near Gaithersburg?
It's sort of. It's like 20 minutes.
Okay.
You knew this?
What?
You knew this?
Gaithersburg.
I was arrested in Gaithersburg.
You know what's funny is a lot of people shout out Gaithersburg when they're talking about Maryland. And actually, Sean worked in the D.C. area for a while, too.
We have a lot of mutual friends.
What did you do in D.C.?
Worked at Signature Theater, Kennedy Center. I did the Sondheim Celebration out there. I did a lot of shows at Signature, primarily.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you know each other at that time?
We didn't.
No.
But I had a ton of... Once we both found out that we were doing the show together, I had a bunch of his friends that are... also mutual friends of mine, be like, oh my gosh, I love Sean McLaughlin. So I heard a lot of wonderful things about him before I met, that were, you know, just total lies.
Easy to love.
Exactly. terrible, yeah. I paid them off really well, and they were also telling me
he's
really
such
horrible
a sloppy
things.
Dresser when he works out.
Can't stand next to her. I'm in my pajamas. But apparently that's trendy out here. I have to go to Walmart and the grocery store.
Oh, yeah. It's a little daunting, isn't it?
I was trying to. Yeah.
if we have time at the end of the hour, Michael, you have to tell the story about the woman that you ran into in the drugstore that time. The crazy one.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a
great one. So, okay, Caroline, here's the thing. You have, you're playing Eva Peron. And... one of the things that I really dug about the show in this particular production, because as we've talked about this leading up to it, because I was lucky enough to see the original Broadway cast, and you go in, every show is as different as the people who are performing it. So I did not go in with any sort of expectations. How well are they going to blindly parrot that? You don't want to see that show anyway. You don't want to see anyone trying to emulate anyone else.
Sure.
What was so astonishing about this show for me was there was so much more humanity in this one than in the first production that I saw. And I was really astounded by that the show could still have the grandeur that it does and be so visually captivating, but yet, and in a room that size, feel a sense of intimacy about this production that I don't think I've ever seen before. And I've seen it like three or four times. You come on at the end when you are in the wheelchair, and how physically withered you are was so much more heartbreaking because it was so believable. We see people performing ill people in musicals. You know, they do this stylized musical sickness. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've often seen that. And this was so, it was almost like actress and character were both
kind of, I mean, it was so genuine, and it was such a high point. And it's astounding to say that in a musical production where it's all about, you know, it's all about the music, of course, that was such a great economical actor moment that you trusted the audience enough to embrace. And I'm very, very grateful to you for that.
I'm really grateful for you.
It was really nice.
Please don't stop.
It was really nice.
Oh, I got.
Of course, then you started singing, and it all
and then
went
it just,
down.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
I don't want to bring that up. astonishing.
Thank you. I think that's our goal is to make these people were real people. They lived. Mm-hmm. So and it's a musical. So it's a bigger than life musical, which makes sense because this woman's life was bigger than life, mm-hmm. and everything that she did in her short life was huge. And so in this 2-hour play, it's jam packed with all this action and huge singing and dancing. And so I think those moments that are like, that was my goal, and I think our whole intention was to make those moments real. Yeah.
And it flies too. It's like you get to that first intermission, it's like, what? You know, exactly. it just cooks along.
Well, you know, when I interviewed them at the opening, and the producer, Hal Luftig, also was there, and I had a nice conversation with him, and he kept reiterating the word authentic and authenticity through mm-hmm. this production. And that's, I think, what we both agree, you know. Yeah.
And
was present.
And also just the design-wise, to start off with the... I mean, those busts at the start of it, those profiles that they show at the beginning, that's Juan and Ava, yes. right? Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah. It's real. Yeah. Them.
And that was their sort of like sanctioned image, you know? And to even start there just does something that takes you... because, you know, if it was the original Broadway production, you can bet it would have been Mandy and Patty's faces.
Oh, of course.
Because Mandy and Patty would have insisted on that.
Absolutely. Well, and what's amazing, actually, lately I've been watching on my days off, or, you know, I never stop because there's so much information on this woman. I've been watching interviews of Patti LuPone now. I'm on to my Patty kick, and I love her. I think she is just extreme to she's amazing. And so I've been watching, and a lot of my interviewers, when I do newspaper interviews and whatever, a question has been, are you nervous that people are going to compare you to the original? And I'm like, you're always nervous about that. But I think in a lot of Patty's interviews, people asked her the same thing about when she did Sweeney Todd and when she did Company, and just not originating roles, but taking on after somebody has already originated it. She said, I don't think it will help me if I have fear of that, a fear of somebody who has already played the role, or fear of, you can never go into a role being afraid. And so I'm like, I am taking your advice, Patti LuPone. I am not going to ever be Patti LuPone, but I can bring something to the role that perhaps somebody else hasn't or in previous productions.
Well, because you're Caroline Bowman. And
right,
there will be a time where people are just saying, are you worried about how you're going to be compared to Carolyn?
Exactly. And that's true. That's very true. You know, you make it your own, and you do it effortlessly. And every turn and every twist of every moment, as Paul was saying in the show, when you take the audience to another level, we're right there with you because you know how to do it.
Thank you.
And because if you don't do that, you're not an actor, you're an impersonator.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. Right. But she does it in a very skillful and methodical kind of way. And I made this remark to both of you and Josh when we were all talking at the opening, that you guys are young. And I know that Ava was young, but you're young to be doing what you're doing in this show.
Yeah.
Sure.
And you from afar, especially you, Sean, from afar, you look so, you know, so much like the character should look. And you're
great.
Majestic and regal.
Great. Thank you.
You know, and certainly when you become part of his life, you're right there by his side, just as majestic and regal.
No, I was actually astonished that you were both as young as you are, because, you know, of course I wasn't, you know, in the first row, but, you know, you're in that whole grandeur, you know, the very, very handsome people.
Yes,
anyway.
Yes,
but
beautiful people.
It's not like they get up on stage and they look like Methuselah. That's not what I'm saying.
I wanted an ugly Perone. Jeez.
Isa, that's another production of Evita I saw with Steve Buscemi as Juan Perón, which was a little odd.
We're going to talk to Sean shortly, but we want to do our arts calendar very quickly.
Yes.
First here, so I'm just going to throw this out here. Doris Place Elementary, which is at 2225 Doris Place, Los Angeles, is currently hosting a community-wide fall festival fundraiser on Friday, November 1st. This is a thing that's very important to me. The fundraiser is crucial to the school as the one opportunity to raise $11,000 in 5.5 hours to fund an instrumental music program and bring the arts back to their deserving K through 6th grade students due to the $600 million LAUSD budget deficit. Mm. Fine arts have been slashed in our public elementary schools. The arts serve as a critical component to a complete education and are proven to increase student academic achievement. Young people who consistently participate in comprehensive, sequential, and rigorous music programs are 4 times more likely to be recognized for academic achievement. Students in top-quality music programs scored 22% higher in English and 20% better in math than students without music programs, and children who learn music have increased literacy, verbal memory, visual processing, and mathematics skills. So a 501c3 nonprofit has been established, so your gift is tax-deductible. You can get all the information about attending or donating at podpartners of Doris. That's the parents of Doris. That's what the POD stands for. podpartnersofdoris.org. And it's very, very important. And our second broadcast, Michael, when we had Carol Channing on, this was a huge thing that she discussed about arts being fertilizer on the brain. It's how important, and it helps children so much.
And she's still out there endorsing.
She's still out there. She's still doing it. So absolutely. Thank you for indulging me on that one, but that's a cause that is very close to all of our hearts, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and important. And our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, was last seen on Broadway in the U.S. and Canada, as rule, in The Phantom of the Opera. Other Broadway credits include Bombay Dreams, the original casts of The Woman in White. And
that's a swamp lady. In
originally Jabberwocky, the musical.
Bombay Dreams, the original casts of The Woman in White, and Elton John's Lestat. Some of his favorite regional credits include Camelot, The Rainmaker, The Rink, and Floyd Collins. He joins our first guest on stage at the Pantages nightly as the ambitious, if flawed, President Juan Perón. Please welcome Sean McLaughlin.
Sean!
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Great.
Hello, sir.
Wonderful.
Thank you for being so patient.
Oh, no worries.
You know, it's another thing that is interesting to bring up about this production is that it's sort of a three-hander with the chorus. I mean, in my opinion, I mean, I know that everyone is important, but and it's not so much it's just the amount of work the three of you do, and four actually, because Magaldi is he's wonderful as well.
Sets it up wonderful.
But the fact that as wonderful as Caroline is, that Caroline is not eclipsing. I mean, you're not a secondary character to her. Right. You when you two share the stage, you definitely share the stage. And I think that that's something that could be an easy fault of the show, that you have an Evita that's as good as Carolyn is. If you don't have a Perón that is as strong, it's not as balanced as it is. Yeah. Was that something that was sort of addressed in rehearsal? Did that just come naturally to the two of you? Or are you just so damn magnetic that you didn't have to think about it?
It's really hard to work with Caroline. I mean, just look at her. She's so ugly. She can't sing. Her stage presence. Now, that was one thing that our tour director, Seth Sklarhein, stressed to us. Was that we had to have a real connection. It had to be gritty. It had to be completely authentic and not the caricatures that normally are portrayed as Ava and Perón and Che. They wanted a real-life take on this musical, and I really do feel the setting of this tour really did come across of what his direction and what Michael Grandage wanted as well. Michael came out in Chicago and saw the show and was just floored because there were things that we did in this and brought out a little more of the reality that he actually took a little bit of a second take as well and was very, very complimented by Seth's direction as well as the favoring of his.
Yeah. The one of the moments I think that you're talking about, it's the scene before and the the song is going out of my head now, but it's the scene before Another Suitcase in Another Hall. I'm not talking of A Hurried Night, yeah. A Frantic yeah. Tumble, and a Shy Goodbye. Mm-hmm. That was so charged sexually. Yes. Yes. Because it wasn't like, it wasn't sort of like this grand posturing. It was like, oh no, there's a plan here.
We're doing it.
we're doing it. And right. I thought that's one of those, just to bring up one of those moments of humanity. Yeah. That was sort of within the architecture of a musical.
And sort of a power shift.
Yeah, very much a power shift. Yeah. The way that the tango is set up, we're just going back and forth. And my favorite part, actually, is like Caroline and I just trying to feel each other out during rehearsals. And that was the third day of rehearsal. Well, we were literally feeling each other out on the third day of rehearsal in that scene. It was absolutely wonderful. And I'm kind of slow in sometimes when it comes to little dance moves and whatnot. So I kept going to Caroline. I was like, I'm really sorry. I am not a lech. I swear to God. I just cannot. I wasn't sure what he just said. Can we go over that part where we do the tango again? And It was I'm married, so I'm not gonna go into how wonderful that day was. It was a great day of rehearsal, I have to say.
Yes. He was a gentleman. I apologize. The old adage is, I apologize if I do, and I apologize if I don't.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
I have a question. Before you do that, let me ask Sean a question. Paul, as Paul asked Caroline, what was your journey to this role?
My journey, I also went through the ringer for about 3 or 4 months. I went through auditions with the producers and musical directors, went through casting and everything. Basically, they had me sing, it was originally called Perón, so they had me sing all of the cut songs from the original Perón musical before they changed it to Evita.
Mm-hmm. I'm going
to
kill you.
I'm just joking.
Oh, my eyes are...
I had you guys going for a second.
I didn't get any material on that. should be in the penny. That should be in this.
All these little pieces of gold that aren't online. No.
I had like Perón eyes.
And it was Perón with an exclamation mark.
Exactly.
Too,
yes. And then the upside down one, since it's like Spanish, course, on the front.
Oh, kill you.
But no, I mean, I've only got a few songs to sing. So basically, I sang the gamut of my songs. So it's not hard, but it was a matter of finding the feeling of Perón and what they wanted and everything else. It wasn't as hard, as arduous as I'm sure what Caroline went through, but apparently they did have a bit of a time trying to find someone who could match Caroline for a lot of different things, the sex compatibility and height, weight, love, everything else like that. I think the combination that they chose for us ended pretty well, because the chemistry we have on stage,
I would agree,
is what they were looking for.
And once again, you have another factor too, because it's also because of the humanity is stressed so much in this, it's so much more a personal story than past productions I've seen. Yeah. You have another layer there that you have to really connect on as well.
Definitely. For this.
Do you want to, Michael, or should I? I'll throw the information out there again. I can do it again. Yeah. Okay. We are talking about Evita. This is the national tour at the Pantages. It's 6233 Hollywood Boulevard at the gorgeous Pantages Theater. And for tickets, HollywoodPantages.com or Ticketmaster.com or 800-982-2787. That's 800-982-2787. Before the show, you can go next door to the Frolic Room. Get a cocktail at the Frolic Room. Gotta love a place with a bartender with fresh stitches in their head. Let me tell you. I love the Frolic Room. They're the apartment in L.A. Confidential. The great scene with Kevin Spacey in the Frolic Room. That's love that place.
It's part of the color.
Actually, that gorgeous place, the W across the street, and that great restaurant, is it Daphne's or Delphine's?
Delphine's.
Is it Delphine's? Delphine's, yes. Killer food.
I must say, though, I did, on the previous show that I covered there at the Pantages, I did go across the street and met a friend, and we had a drink, and we had a half of an appetizer each. He had a Cosmopolitan, I think. I had a club soda, because I had to work. So the bill came. It was $75.
Oh my
because
gosh.
You got the free massage. And it's extra if you do that.
They call it free.
They call it free.
What? You know, we didn't even look at the menu. We just said, just an appetizer of some sort. And they said, well, you know, the quesadilla is really good, but it's really not big enough for, you know, both of you. So we suggest that you both get an order. I said, well, that's okay. And they, she said, and it is a half order. So these were half orders.
And it has gold in it.
But you know, at the end of it, but here's you always have to consider that when you're eating in anything that is affiliated with a hotel, of course it goes right. You gotta, you know what I mean? It's the dining room for the hotel. There's a front entrance, but it's still a hotel restaurant, which is always
this was not in the restaurant.
I'm actually doing a performance there.
Really?
I tell you, yes.
I'm
it's
afraid
a one
to ask
man
why.
Show that I've written.
Really?
Yeah, it's a musical. It's just called Magalda. It's actually the precursor to Perón.
Oh, it's hot in here.
Anyway. No, but speaking of Perón, back to Sean. Sean,
back to Sean.
your favorite roles of yours leading up to this. Both of you, it's sort of like I think about Peter O'Toole, and Peter O'Toole at you know, his first film role is Lawrence of Arabia. It's like, where do you go from there when you're Lawrence of Arabia? It's your first movie.
Right.
But like now that you guys are playing these iconic characters, when you look back on past roles that you've done, what favorites sort of match up to the grandeur of these?
And you were Lancelot in Camelot.
Lancelot recently, Camelot out at Houston Tuts. It was actually something I never thought I would delve into, and it was one of the most gratifying, grateful experiences I've ever had in my life. Just being able to sing If Ever I Would Leave You, and exploring the bass baritone of my voice, where I was always trying to embrace the tenor, baritenor, if you will. It's like saying man, woman, but baritenor of my voice. My favorite roles of the past, though, I'd say the number one would probably have to be Raoul. I did that for about 3.5 years on tour, which actually today it marks 3 years where I closed it here at the Pantages.
Wow.
And Andrew Lloyd Webber came out, and it was a wonderful experience. And then did that on Broadway as well. And then Cain Japheth in Children of Eden. That is probably one of my favorite roles as well. A lot of the contemporary musicals I really enjoy a lot.
The fact that you guys are so young and have these. What about you, Carolyn? What about your favorites?
Well, I loved playing Lady of the Lake Swamp. What? Lady of the Lake was just fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I could just, every time I came on stage, I had a just a powerhouse, bring down the house song, belting out. And those costumes were pretty incredible as well. As well as the ones I get to wear in Evita. But, I mean, you know, Evita sort of takes the cake so far. Yeah.
Well, that entrance, when the two of you are up, when you're waiting for
the casserole.
I mean, that's just respect.
Yeah. It's so iconic.
It is, it seems to me that this one, as I recall in the original, I think you saw her make that cross, and this one she comes, you don't see her until she just gets there.
There is.
And it's quite dramatic.
It's also there's a and I hope you don't take this the wrong way, because I'm sure it's intended, but there's a grandeur to it, but there's also this timidity to taking that place. It's like she realizes that okay, this train is moving, and this is just the point, you know. So I really appreciated that, because you know, the fact that there was just this, I don't want to say fragility coming out there, but a little bit of hesitation, and then of course, you know, you burn down the song.
My gosh, I mean, at that point, she's 20.
I was gonna say
she's like 24, 25 when they got married. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, how young she was. I can't even imagine doing all that. I mean, she's the first lady of her country.
But I was 25. I was 24. Right? I wasn't ready for the responsibility of a house plant.
Oh my goodness gracious, no. I just started paying my cell phone bill. it's insane. And 10 years prior to that, she was living in a small town with her family and had nothing. Yeah. And was, I mean, it's just fascinating.
How old was she when she met Magaldi? Was it 15?
They say she was 15. I mean, there's multiple stories about how she got to Buenos Aires, but this is the story that they decided to adapt to the musical. Okay. But there, I mean, I've read novels about her or different biographies and whatever about her that literally have one story, and that was one version, and this version, and that, and they like say it all in one page, and you're like, but we're gonna go with this one.
right.
So
right.
It's kind of
how much of it is true.
Right. I mean, there's just so much information. So.
And I also found that with this musical, they did a great job of finding the nice middle line, so the audience can actually make their own decision about the characters that are in the play, and the director can actually sway with the way that they take the character.
You're right. It's far less, I don't want to say judgmental, but you're allowed to ask your own questions.
Right.
As opposed to being told the answer with some of the more heavy-hitting version.
You gesticulated just then.
I did gesticulate here in front of everybody.
John, did you always know that you wanted to do this? Did you always know that you wanted to be an actor?
I did.
And did you were you a singer as a child? Did you know that you could sing?
I was. I remember when I was 4 years old watching soap operas, and I was pointing to my the TV, and I told my mom I want to do that because I saw people kissing, and so she got me acting classes. So I started doing musical theater, dance, and everything at the age of 4 out in Fort Lee, Virginia, and basically just rode that train until puberty, and then I was like, I'm never going to sing again. I'm just going to do the straight acting thing, and then found my voice again in college. I was studying communications to be a photojournalist at the time and having a minor in psychology, so I was trying to figure out that route just in case the whole theater, film, TV thing didn't work out. And then I went off after college to D.C., and it ended up working out.
Well, lucky for us and everybody else that sees this show. At the Pantages Theater.
At the Pantages Theater, yes. HollywoodPantages.com, Ticketmaster.com, and when is it playing through so people know how much time they have?
November 10th.
Through November 10th, there we go. Okay, so get to see this thing. We're in our final five, Michael.
That's right.
So this is where
this is kind of your baptismal.
Ask our guests to share a tale of woe from something that happened. Now, before the show, Caroline, you mentioned that you might have a little example from this production.
Oh, yes, I did. I gave them a little show.
Really?
Yes, actually. Here, was that this week, Sean?
That was this week.
So I got a little excited. Sometimes I get a little angry and whatever during the show and whatever I feel at that moment. And so during a New Argentina, when I'm rallying the people, I just overextended my arm a little bit too much, and it's a snap-on jacket because it's a quick change into my suit, my New Argentina suit. And I raised my arm, and all of a sudden I was flashing the audience, just like my jacket came open, and I sang the rest of it like this, like with my arms just clasped around my chest, just, he's a poor chap, I love you, like for dear life. But what was funny about it was it's such a high, it switches from your low chest to like a really high, thank you, Andrew Lloyd Webber, to a really high mixed belt. And I wasn't even thinking about singing it. And I was like, ooh, I sound good. While I'm like holding on to my jacket for dear life. So that was something interesting about You're Welcome, L.A.
It was originally a $20 ticket, and now it's $25 after that.
I think they should have done 30.
Now, Sean, aside from the night when you went backstage and loosened all the costume buttons,
right.
What else? What do you have to tell us?
This show-wise, not too much. I enjoy watching hers, but yes, I did loosen that up, and it's not enough, doing
but not
it,
though, necessarily I'd be this show.
Phantom, last time we were here, when I was here for the closing week, for some reason there was a malfunction with the rope the Phantom puts around Raoul's neck. It wasn't coming down. So... Tim Martin Gleason, who was actually recently in...
yes, he's here. Yeah.
In When You Wish, the story of Walt Disney.
We had him on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, right on. Yeah. Yeah. He was our Phantom, and he took the brilliant notion to throw me against the portcullis, the big gate in the back, and hold me there like a force hold, like he's Darth Vader, and I am magnetically on this portcullis. I have no metal in my body, but I'm stuck there with his magical powers. And I make the wrong choice of doing it in releve on one leg. So I'm stuck there for like 5 minutes, that whole last part of the final air.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's like, what? Yeah, I just, the thing didn't come down. I just figured I'd throw it against the portcullis. magnetic portcullis, you know. I was like, thanks, man. That's awesome.
That's fantastic. Very Harry Potter of you.
It's very Harry Potter. And choice. It works for Phantom because it adds magic. You know,
2 minutes into it, you're like, I should have put both legs down.
Exactly. Why was I thinking that? Ooh, I'm awesome. I can stand on one leg. No, that was stupid, Sean. Very stupid.
Hysterical. That's hysterical.
Well, one more time, ladies and gentlemen, before we close out the hour, Pantages Theater, Evita. And don't miss this one because it is spectacular, and it's also going on tour once it leaves the Pantages Theater. So
Costa Mesa is next, right?
San Diego, I think.
San Diego.
Yeah. San Diego. And, of course, the Pantages Theater is at 6233 Hollywood Boulevard, right in the heart of all of the glamour of Hollywood. Tuesday through Friday at 8 p.m., Saturday at 2 and 8 p.m., Sunday at 1 and 6:30 p.m. Orchestra-level tickets, as Paul said earlier, start at $25. This allows you to go to the theater. Make a point of it, folks. 2 hours and 15 minutes, easy, and very exciting.
With the intermission.
And recommended, of course, for ages up 9 and up. And online, you can get your tickets at HollywoodPantages.com or Ticketmaster.com or simply call 800-982-2787.
How fun was this?
Yes, so fun.
Thank you so much. Thank you both. And great. Benny, thank you so much.
Awesome. Benny, thank you for letting them come to see us.
Always helping us out here.
Yeah.
And Michael, we'll look forward to seeing you next week.
Absolutely. See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.